And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street. Or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So it's kind of hard to believe it's already been a month since I was unprepared for that one show. But here we are, and now I'm going to take a swing at it. I'm going to attempt to talk intelligently about the jobs report and all this stuff and wage growth. And I will not speak like a fully educated individual, merely a Monday morning quarterback-esque. Know nothing about football other than he should have thrown it to that one dude who was waving his hands open. That he was open. Or why did you pass the ball, hand the ball off, should have thrown it. No, none of that talk. But it's fantastic. 336,000 new jobs added this week. More jobs added than the previous president or previous term person. Whatever Biden said. Always bragging about all these jobs that he saved or created since his election. And he kind of has a point. He does get some bragging rights. I mean, pretty sure Trump was bragging about all the jobs he created over the previous resident of the White House when he was around. But it's kind of a little bit of a different story, the comparison between Trump and Biden and Obama and Trump. Or is it? Because with Trump, we had that little thing called COVID-19 kind of shut everybody down. Everybody went crazy and bought toilet paper, just flew off the shelves. And then the end of the world was coming, and so people were buying frozen goods and canned goods, and then they realized that they could just work at home, so desks and all that other fun stuff was getting purchased. And we were handing out money left and right through government stipends, and then we also figured out that because we could work from home, we were saving money on gas, and so we had more expendable money, and we weren't going on vacation, so we decided to spend more money elsewhere or save money. And all sorts of craziness happened. And we shut down businesses. People got laid off, not necessarily fired. Maybe some got fired. Because in occupations like leisure and hospitality, kind of hard to pay people when no one's coming to visit your hotel or your beaches or wherever that you normally go to vacation. So those jobs were lost. And that's actually one of the bragging points of the September jobs report. Was that 96,000 jobs have been added to the leisure and hospitality section. 76,000 were added in the August jobs report. The August jobs report kind of got lambasted, raked over the coals. It was supposed to be in the 200s, and it came back at the 170 creation mark. And it was a much bigger expounding of, look how many jobs I created, even though you came in under the mark. Again, boasting about how many jobs he created over the previous administration. But the September jobs report says that we are back to pre-pandemic levels of employment in the hospitality industry, which means that people are actively going on vacation. People are actively going on into bars, having a good time. There is enough expendable income. Or maybe everybody's just miserable enough that they're drowning their tears in their beers. But people are going out. People are spending money. And it's looking like a good thing. We are actually a mere 3 million jobs shy of where we were when the economy went kaput, when we shut everything down. So by the time Biden leaves office, we will be, hopefully, at the same level of employment that we were before he showed up to office. But we'll have to see. Because one of the things that happened in the COVID pandemic of sending everybody home is there were a lot of people that took early retirement. Some people, like a family member of mine, were given a bonus to take their retirement, to go ahead and get off the books, leave us alone, we're done paying you. We pay you too much. We can hire two people for half the price we're paying you. And so my uncle, a boomer, is off and enjoying retirement. as he should. He put a lot of years of his life into working and saving money. Sit back, relax, enjoy it, however you see fit. But him, with all his years of experience, kind of leaves a void just because you can hire two people for half the price each, pay about the same amount of money, get maybe the same amount of work. You've lost a lot of knowledge with that individual. And that's happened across the board. And I'm not necessarily saying that everybody has been fired or whatnot out of their, or retired out of their job. But maybe you have someone like a stainless steel welder that was working at a job with a boss that he didn't like and gave that job up, decided to go into the hospitality industry. Or maybe start up his own business. How does that kind of all factor in? Not wanting to go back. But at the same time, though, the stainless steel welding industry is a booming industry if you want to get paid good money. It's hard work. Welding is not easy. Deal with hot stuff the whole time. Might burn yourself. Might get zapped, electrocuted. All the fun stuff. Working in cramped locations. But if you're good at what you do, make a lot of good money. Because the skills are gone. We have a lot of people, again, that hospitality industry. I more think of it as what's going on with inflation. All this stuff that's going on. The massive increases in prices. Because we had so much money flying around. We had so much supply and demand pressure. We skyrocketed prices. Now people don't want to go back to, they didn't want to go back to work because they were getting good money. And now they have to go back to work because they need to be able to pay these things. And now I question how much of this hospitality and leisure deal, employment, is based off of people getting second jobs just so that they can afford to put the plates on the table. We all have families with two income households. Being able to afford everything, unless we choose to barely scrape on by to make things work out as we want them to. And so we have to put in that extra hustle, a little bit of extra work, that second job, burning that midnight oil just to hopefully get ahead, but sometimes again to break even. I have a cousin, of course I know them, that when I was younger, they were a single parent working two jobs and going to school all at the same time. Now, they had family there to help them watch after their kid during certain hours of the day, but someone putting in 16-hour days minimum to get themselves to a better place, and now that they are the breadwinner of their household, their significant other stays home, raises the kids, what a fantastic deal for them. But they're still hurting. They still have to work hard. You don't just get to write everything off and run about. You still have to pay the bills. And so we have, to my understanding, my Monday morning quarterback, all these hospitality jobs, more or less entry level, low skill, getting fulfilled. Again, kind of a surprise, like, hey, I guess people are actually going out. But it's a positive thing. Again, people are going out, they're spending money. You kind of need people to spend money. Kind of annoying when I see the government jobs is the second highest new job employer at 73,000 new jobs. Fantastic. More government work, employed by tax money. We need more raises for them, just raise taxes. But all of those people, all of those government jobs do help support the broader economy. If those people have money to spend, they can spend it elsewhere, specifically on groceries or on new cars or going out to the bar because they have money. They have consistent employment. We've brought back those jobs, again, from a 61 ish, or I guess according to this other website, yeah, looking at 63.4% participation level of the population in the United States for job interaction. And now we're at 62.1. And oh no, my bad. That's an old story. That's from December 2022. Ignore those numbers. I don't know what I'm talking about. But again, we're on the rise back up, but we've definitely seen this time before. And one thing that, again, it just grates at me how Biden says, oh, much better than the previous administration. Previous administration had a catastrophic event happen right towards the end of their term. Again, COVID-19. We decided to shut everything down. And one thing that you do when you start looking around, trying to figure everything out, is where else is there dirt? Where else can I pile on all this. And it's easy enough to go back and start looking at the Great Recession back in 2007, 2008, when the subprime mortgage market decided to get caught up in its own game, and a lot of people lost their jobs. President Donald Trump, during the COVID-19 shutdown, lost about 4% in workplace participation. President Obama, during his term, again, Trump had nothing to do immediately with COVID-19 and everybody freaking out and shutting everything down. Not necessarily kind of everybody was all hair on fire kind of situation. But Obama, not there to control the inner workings of the government or the mortgage market and how all that securities are bounced back and forth and all the shenanigans that giant corporate businesses decide to pull behind closed doors. Obama had a 4.6% drop in labor participation, according to this one fancy little chart that I get to look at right here. 2006, we had 63.1%, dropped all the way down to 58.4% in 2011, the bottom of the trough before we started kind of climbing back up. And that chart does show from 2013 all the way through 2019. So before Donald Trump was president, we were already on an upward trajectory. And it was nice to see that continued upward trajectory. Nice to go back, at least kind of getting close to that 61%, even though we're nowhere close to the 63%. Or even going further back on this chart to 2000, we were at 64.4%. And then something happened in 2001 and saw a nice little decline before Obama took office, and we kind of climbed back up just a little bit, just to fall again. During the 2007-2008 crash, though, all the home prices went down. They collapsed. People lost their value because the mortgages weren't backed by anything. Minimal amount of money we could just give out. And so things went bad. Things went worse. We leveled out, started climbing back up, and saw something else crazy happen. We fell back down. But this time, again, we're just handing money out. The Fed lowered the rates to nothing, trying to keep people to keep borrowing money, keep spending money. We need people to keep spending money to keep this ball turning. And everybody has money. Everybody has a reason to go out and work, to exchange effort for value, to then pay things off, buy more stuff. But again, then we had too much money, bought too many things, too much free money. Housing being a fantastic store of investment is real estate. They're not making too much more of it. And when they can, there's extra stipulations and there's increased costs on labor because now everything's more expensive. And starter home's gone. Everybody gets to buy a condo now, townhome, put up with HOAs. That's dismal. I'm sorry. But we're coming out of the hole. And so it's good news. Even though the bragging rights I don't think are necessarily there, he's at least doing something, somehow, to gather us back up, get us back on our feet. And once we have regular workplace participation, once we reinvigorate our skills, our abilities, teaching the younger youths, or people my age, going out to retrain and do a new job, or maybe again, those of us just a little bit younger, looking for decent, gainful employment. Don't look outside the trades. Stay out of hospitality and leisure. Don't look for your 15 seconds of fame on TikTok or YouTube. Go out, do some hard labor. Support the greater good. Help make things. Bring back some manufacturing. That's actually a fun little video, short little minute and 3 second or so video of a little bar graph that shows the change in employment sectors from 1939 through 2021. And we start off being a major manufacturing hub with about 12 million manufacturing jobs being the biggest sector out there. Now, our population was definitely a little bit lower, but we also saw a peak in manufacturing jobs in about somewhere in the mid-70s. It just kind of flows through, again, short little video, peaking out at about 18 million jobs in manufacturing. 2021, we close out at about 12 million jobs. Way down on the list. It actually falls about 4 or 5 spots. Kind of on par with where we were in the 1930s, 1940s, right before the war.
Right after the war, we were at about
15, 16 million. But we were kind of pumping everything out for that Cold War deal. But watching retail pop up, the leisure activities pop up, kind of raise, professional and business services skyrocket through the 90s. But we've gone from a manufacturing hub as a whole within this little chart that they show to education and health services being our primary employment situation. Kind of a funny situation with all those guaranteed college loans. That's a different story for a different day that I'm sure we've already talked about. Because we're talking about jobs, we're talking about employment, we're talking about 336,000 new jobs saved or created in the United States. We're coming back. We're all getting employed. Things will balance out eventually, hopefully. We'll see how it all works with our military-industrial complex in full swing. But I've been Billy Bones. B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twixer, T-W-I-X-E-R. That's Twitter and X combined. At Billy Bones. You find me on the Fediverse, the Mastodon, at Billy Bones, at NoAgendaSocial.com. Go to either one of those locations, boost the toot, retweet the tweet when I got the show sent out. Maybe you just send a like. Maybe you have something to say within 140 characters, like, hello. But if you don't do the social meds like that, you're in luck. I've got a website, billybones.com. Remember, that's spelled the same way, with the number 3 instead of the letter E. And there you can find a whole host of things, like show notes. Quite the collection of show notes today. There's links to past episodes. There's a link that says Tabletop Woodworks. That's my side gig, my little extra woodworking business. Go there for dice towers, exploding outhouses, and some guitar hooks as of right now. And this is a Value for Value podcast. If you found value out of this podcast, be it the solo episode or the entire cat, fantastic. Thank you. I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a talking point, finds a thing that gets the gears turning. But if you found that this show was worth monetary value, like the U.S. dollar, like today's executive producer, Lady Get Over It, sending in a second monthly $10 donation. Thank you very much, ma'am. Or maybe you don't like the U.S. dollar. You like Satoshis, little teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin, and you're using one of those high-fangled new fancy podcast apps, podcastapps.com. Like today's second executive producer of the Abs in a Six-Pack podcast, Sir Seat Sitter. Sending in 3,585 Satoshis, saying much love. And to everybody else out there of the internet, you beautiful people of the internet, thank you very much for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.